May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Before I read that scripture again, or part of it that Father Ron read, let me read this to you. Give you some insight into God's ways. This is from Numbers chapter 12, verse 5. Then the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood at the doorway of the tent, and he called Aaron and Miriam, and they had both come forward, and he said, "Hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, shall make myself known to him in a vision. I shall speak with him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my household. With him I speak mouth to mouth, even openly and not in dark sayings. And he beholds the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant, against Moses?" It's interesting that he wasn't just correcting Aaron and Miriam because they had been speaking against Moses. When God puts somebody in a position of authority like that, it's a sketchy thing to do that. But he wanted them to understand why he had chosen Moses. He said, "I speak to my prophets and others in dark sayings and dreams, but to Moses, who I found faithful in all my household, I will speak to him mouth to mouth." And the Lord was saying to Miriam and to Aaron, even though Moses didn't get it perfect, he didn't get to enter into the land, but they were saying, he was saying to him, "I didn't just like close my eyes and pick Moses. I chose him. There was something about him that postured him for me to be attracted to him, to choose him, to use him the way I did." When I think about Mary, again, Mary was probably somewhere between 14 and 16 years old. And I often think, why didn't God like pick somebody who's like 18 or 20. I mean, somebody with a little more sense than a teenager, a young teenager. Because any of you have ever had young teenagers, you know that they're, God so loved the world, they didn't send a young teenager. And but that's what he did. He chooses this young teenage girl. And not only does he choose this young teenage girl, he chooses, it says, look what it says here in verse 26. "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary." Now, to me, the only part that God and the angel got right here was of the descendants of David, because that's the part that God had promised, that this Messiah is going to be of the tribe of Judah, going to be of the descendants of David. But the Holy Spirit puts this little thing here on purpose. He sends the angel to Galilee, to a little town called Nazareth, to a young teenager who's a virgin and whose name was engaged to a man named Joseph. All righty, if you're going to pick a teenager, why don't you pick one that's not engaged? Because the engagement part complicated the whole thing a great deal. As I mentioned to you, I think yesterday, that I wrote a devotional day, and the devotional was like, it's amazing to me the things that the angel said to Mary, but it's also amazing to me the things that he didn't say to Mary, which we've talked about this week. He didn't say to Mary, didn't promise her, "Oh, by the way, Joseph is going to be completely understanding when he finds out that you're pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And oh, by the way, also, for the rest of your life, none of your family members or any of your friends or people in the greater population are ever going to think that you were immoral and you're not going to have to worry about the scandal. I'm going to take care of all that." He didn't cover that part. But I know that Mary had to have thought of those things when she first heard this, what's going to happen. I mean, she asked the question, "How's it going to be since I'm a virgin?" And then he just gives her this crazy answer. She didn't understand it all, but she says, "Okay, you're going to do a miracle." But there was still no, I'd have been going, you know, can you please assure me that it's going to all be okay? Like, this person I've been engaged to all my life since I was a child, or I was betrothed or committed to, and we've just recently been engaged, that I'm not going to lose him. He's not going to think I'm an adulteress. And everybody else is not going to think I'm an adulteress the rest of my life. I would have wanted to work that out before I signed on the bottom line. And so I'm just thinking, but couldn't he have just chosen? There are a lot of teenage girls. There was a lot of teenage girls that loved the Lord, I'm sure, in Israel. That was a very religious place. Why didn't he just pick one if it had to be a teenager? But why did it have to be a teenager? I mean, couldn't it have been, again, somebody like 20-year-old? There had to be somebody who was 20 years old that wasn't engaged, that was pretty spiritual. But he had to pick a teenager, and then he had to pick one that was engaged. Why did he do that? I don't know. You ever had things God do in your life go, why did you do it this way? Like, why, in light of how this all turned out, why did I really feel like you called me to you know, make this decision and do that decision and say yes to that person, whatever, and now look how it's turned out. Why? And you're omniscient, you know everything, so why? I know you never have, but just in case, any of you ever have. But why I took this job, why I did this, like why did God tell you to take the job knowing that the person you are going to be working with or for was actually Beelzebub in disguise? It's just curious to me about the Lord. But when the angel comes, he says to her, "Hail, favored one." So let me give you a little bit of grammar lesson, which is, for this place, is fun. One, the word favored one actually means God speaks highly of you. That's cool. But it's in the perfect tense, which means at some point in the past, God said it for the first time, speaking highly of you, and he's been continually doing that ever since. Wow. Now, I don't think it's really important if people speak highly of you. That was obviously true in Mary's story, and God really wasn't concerned about that. Often, if you live your life and people always speak highly of you, you will not fulfill God's purposes in your life. It's one of the signs that you're getting it wrong. When I was younger, when I first started walking with the Lord, somebody asked me a question one time, "What do you want written on your tombstone one day when you die?" And I said, "I just really want to put on there, he was a really nice guy and everybody liked him." So basically what I was saying was, I never want to be in a position of leadership ever in the body of Christ. But at some point, God spoke highly of her. So I'd rather have God speak highly of me, like Daniel. He said he was highly esteemed in heaven. So God began to speak highly of her, and it was something he was continually doing. This is what Gabriel's saying. God just speaks highly of you all the time. We're just hearing about you all the time. So God sent me to you, the one who he just speaks highly of. And then he says, she was greatly troubled at the statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this might be. I mean, I'm encouraged that when they said, God speaks highly of you, I'm glad she didn't say, I can understand that. I remember one time, Luke and Woody, the difference between Luke and Woody was that I'd put Woody to bed at night when he was real little, and I'd tell him, Woody, you're so wonderful, and you're handsome, and you're smart, and yada, yada. You know, no, oh, you are. But with Luke, I always loved it. With Luke, I go, Luke, you're so wonderful, you're so handsome, you're so smart. He'd go, I know. He just didn't want to talk about it. He just didn't want me to keep talking. He didn't want to go to sleep. That was basically the deal. But Mary was troubled by the statement. The angel said to her, he said, in verse 28, he said, "Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you." And the language there is also, God's been with you for a while. Don't be afraid, you found favor with God. The indication here is that, like with Moses, there was something about her, and God's presence had been on her life for a while. The eyes of God run to and fro, it says in 2 Chronicles 16:9. In the King James Version, I love what it says. The eyes of God run to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for anyone, teenage, not teenage, old person, senior, young adult, anyone whose heart is perfect towards him, that he might show himself strong on their behalf. The New American Standard says, whose heart is completely his. I think what he found in this girl, and had found it for a number of years, a heart that was completely his. She wasn't an arbitrary choice. He didn't pick a Rodex thing in this scroll and go, here. He chose her on purpose because of her relationship with him and her heart towards him, postured her in such a way that God spoke highly of her and chose her. Because I think she had the right, she could have said no, but he believed he found one in whom wouldn't question why he was doing it the way he did it. She asked him how, but not why. That's a heart that's perfect towards him. Not a perfect walk, not perfect theology, but a perfect heart. I just think that's really encouraging. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.